I want to speak this morning on a joyful noise, making a joyful noise, kind of on this theme for the year. So Psalm 95, and like I said, we're going to read all 11 verses, but we're really just going to focus on the first two. I just hate to stop after two verses. It's all good. So Psalm 95, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, in the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice," now right here, verse 8 is fascinating. It actually shifts now. This is the voice of God speaking through these next verses. "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when the fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." I know this has not been quite the start for the new year that I think any of us would have chosen. Between funerals and freezing temperatures, I don't know about you, but I've had about all I can stand. I think the only real excitement I've seen in the past, since January 1st, was when I told Allison that school was canceled again. And, the kids got a little bit excited about that. There was some genuine joy going on right there. But in spite of the heartaches and hardships, we press forward, still hoping and praying for a good year. And I don't want to jinx anything, but I saw this online. We got the wildfires over in California, and that is horrible, what is going on over there. But do you realize 2020 started with wildfires, too, in Australia? So I'm just saying, we're not off onto a good track record here. Just hopefully we're not on the same path as that. But I am excited for the year 2025. My prayer is that it will be the greatest in the history of Faith Baptist Church. So many things to be excited about, and I was thinking I love our missions program and where we were at, the trajectory of where we're going, what we were able to accomplish last year. I don't want that. I want to top that this year. I want to do more. I mean, we gave out $100,000 to missions throughout the year. I'm still excited about that. Let's do it again. Let's do more. I'm excited about that. We have some great opportunities on the horizon. Ryan made the mistake up here yesterday, get me started talking about the radio station. He liked it, not got out of here. I'm excited about these opportunities that we have. And I don't know exactly what will happen this year. It's beyond our control. Things happen, and sometimes God moves in a different direction than what we would like or what we would expect. We simply trust that His way is best, and by the way, it's because it is best. He knows what we need, and He knows we'll make it through. The one thing, so I was thinking about it, that we can control in the chaos of life is how we react to it. If I were to go down here to Whataburger and order a hamburger, there's a lot of that. Actually, be a patty melt, probably no onions, okay? Patty melt, no onions. That's my go-to. But if I were to go down there and order me a burger, and at that point, there's a lot of that that's out of my hands. I know what I want, and I expect to get it, but I don't know what I'm going to get. I can't go back in the kitchen, and I can't cook it myself. They would frown on that. I can't stand there and watch them and say, no onions. Don't put those onions on there. I can't go back there and do that. All I can do is react to what I receive. Perhaps everything is not quite right in what you get in that bag, and they forgot the spicy ketchup again. That's a tragedy. Except, oh, come on, really, the sp- spicy ketchup is the best. Good thing is I usually have spares, but how do you react when that happens? Me being the classic introvert, I just, okay, well, I'll just eat my fries without it. You know, I'll make it, or like I said, I've got spares usually. I've known some people that if it's not exactly right, they're going to go in there and they're going to give them a piece of their mind. And usually those are the folks that can't spare a piece of their mind to begin with, just in my observation. Believe it or not, I have actually gone through the drive-thru, and you get your food and like, okay, something, they forgot this, this wasn't right. And I have gone back in, and I try to be very kind because I don't want to be one of those people that ends up with a video on YouTube that's going viral. Somebody, a Karen is what that's called, I don't want to be one of those. The younger people, say Kylie Smiley, the younger people will get that, okay? I've known people, and I'm thinking of someone very specifically who I was related to, that no matter what they ordered, no matter what they got, it was going back. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not that brave because I don't know what's coming back. I just assume I'm just going to take the chances with what I got. Somebody said that every introvert will end up marrying an extrovert because someone has to send that food back. I mean, the introvert's not going to do it. I'm the one that sits there like, it'll be fine, honey. My wife's like, no, we're going to send that back. I'm like, oh, okay. But reaction is a choice. Action is a choice. Attitude is a choice. I choose to be excited for the coming year. And again, I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited. I will paraphrase the great missionary William Carey. He said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And I choose to expect great things from God because I want to attempt some great things for God. By the way, we all chose how we would act in church this morning. Somebody decided they would be grumpy. I don't know which one, but somebody showed up, beside Bill Adams, that decided to show up and just be in a foul mood, you know. Somebody came in and decided they were going to be happy. Obi decided he was going to be happy this morning. He usually does. Somebody came this morning and they chose. They wanted to hear from God this morning. They needed some encouragement. They needed something this morning. And that choice makes a big difference, doesn't it? My text this morning, the first two verses of Psalm 95, contains two of the seven appearances of the phrase joyful noise in the Bible. The others are also in Psalms, Psalm 66 verse 1, 88 verse 1, 98 verses 4 and 6, and then Psalm 100 verse 1. It's a curious phrase, and I've studied out all of these words about praise and worship, and this is one I didn't get really deep into before, and I was looking into it, and it's a very interesting word. It's a three-letter little word in Hebrew. It's ruah, R-U-A, basically, is kind of it. But it's such a simple little word, but there's no good way to translate it into English. That's why you have these phrases like joyful noise, and there's different variations like that that you'll see. It has a lot of uses. Over in Joshua chapter number 6, where the people of Israel blow the trumpets and they shout about the walls of Jericho, that's the word for the shout that's used. So it can mean to shout. It can mean to sound a trumpet, like as an alarm, Joel chapter 2 verse 1, a few other places. Like sound the alarm, and that's the word that'll be used. It can also just mean kind of to blow trumpets. In Numbers chapter 10, it talks about the silver trumpets that they had in the tabernacle. And this is the word that's used to describe them blowing these trumpets that they would on the first day of the month and on the first day of the new year. We talked about that recently. But those kind of things, that's the word for a trumpet blast. But there's something special about these six appearances, in Psalms, that simple words like shout or sound simply do not fit. Context demands we expand beyond that here. Some say it's, to shout loudly. Some people shout triumphantly. I was looking at different ways people translate this and different commentaries say, to try to understand this word. And I'll be honest, I don't think any of that really is enough, because in my mind, this is that sound you get when you have a crowd of people. I think of a roar at a ball game or something like that. And I think it kind of includes all these things. There's shouting going on. They're singing. I think music may be a part of that. The blowing of trumpets. It's just this swell of sound that comes up. And that's what I imagine with this word. I think it's purposely vague and can be applied in so many ways, because it's not being just, you know, you have to say this, you have to do this. I think it's just, you just can't help it, and you're going to be joyful and let it pour out, is my understanding. I think it's what's important here is that you see people joining in and joyously praising our ever-living God. My prayer is that 2025 will be one that we as individual believers, then as we as a corporate church body, and I would even go beyond that, that we as just a part of Christendom that we are in the broadest sense, that we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I think that goes back to what I was saying. It's a choice. We're going to choose to make a joyful noise this year. I have basically three questions about this, is the way I'm going to approach this subject this morning. And the first one is, who should make a joyful noise? Who should make a joyful noise? And if you're sitting back there saying the person who can't sing, yes, we know the joke, okay. But note the phrases here in Psalm 95 when it talks about who is doing this. It says three times in these two verses, let us sing, let us make a joyful noise, let us come before His presence. So you have the idea of community, of multiple people here involved. Also, you'll see twice the word come is used. Oh, come, let us sing. Let us come before His presence. What is going on here? I think it's a call for individual believers to come together, to unite their hearts and their tongues in praising God. It's an invitation to come and join that song that we are lifting up. Somebody might say here, well, I don't know. I don't feel like I've got anything to praise Him for this morning. If you're that way, I'm going to tell you, I think you need to go get your eyes checked this morning. Any rational person should have no problem seeing the goodness of God that surrounds them. I understand the heartaches and the burdens, and you may not feel it, but you ought to be able to look around you and say that God is good to us. Are you breathing? You can praise God for that. That is a gift from God. Are you saved this morning? You can definitely praise God for that. Do you live in Texas this morning? You can praise God for that too. And also I thought about this. You know, we talk a lot about bearing one another's burdens. You know, we don't have to just bear one another. We can also bear one another's joys and praises too. We don't just have to share the bad things. You'll be around that person, they're going to always share the bad things. They're going to tell you, know, the old thing. You got those people you're afraid to ask how they are because they're going to tell you. The old preacher told the story about a lady coming out of the church and said, so how are you doing? And she goes, oh, pretty good under the circumstances. And he said, well, what are you doing under there? You know, get out from under there. But we have a choice to make. We have a choice. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves. So that's one of the number one keys to finding peace and joy and happiness in our hearts. It's a biblical method. Get your eyes off yourself. There's two ways to look. One, look around you. Look around you. Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at your family. Look around you. And the other is to look up at Him. When you start focusing on those, and I'd say it's Him, the old thing, joy, Jesus, others, you, it really plays in very well right here. Focus on Him. Focus on others. Get your eyes off yourself. And I think if you do that, you will have no problem finding a reason to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Second, what should our joyful noise sound like? Well, through these four phrases of the two verses, we find three different types of praise, if you will. Verse 1, we're called to sing. And by the way, that's a very interesting word. That doesn't mean just make music. This is like belt it out. This is sing it out. Some people say that's more of a shout, maybe a better way of saying this. But this isn't just you're humming Amazing Grace. This is when you're in your car by yourself and you turn the radio off and you're just singing at the top of your lungs. That's what this is. Singing in the shower, singing something, you know, you're off by yourself and you're just letting her rip. That's what this is. Verse number 2, we're called to give God thanks. It says for thanksgiving. That's for who he is, for what he does. Then verses 1 and 2, we have that make a joyful noise. And again, I think that's more encompassing than just a shout or just making a loud racket. I think there's a lot of things that go involved with that, singing, shouting, music, things like that. Can I tell you, the Christian faith should be a bold faith. We should not be silent or whisper for fear of offending or attracting attention to ourselves. I've told y'all before, but when my wife and I first started getting dating and things were getting kind of serious, I think it was my grandpa was trying to pick on me. I don't remember who it was. I just remember this happening. And they said, they were trying to pick on me. Oh, yeah, you got that girlfriend. I'm like, yes, I do. And they said, well, he said, I can tell this is serious because I can't pick on you about this. This is serious. You know, it didn't rattle embarrass me. And I think that today, I thought I'm going to say this. I've used this in the past, and I kind of got in trouble for it a little bit. Most people treat church like an ugly girlfriend. They don't mind being around them by themselves, but they don't want to be seen in public with them. I'm sorry, it may be come off a little bit vulgar, but I'm telling you, that's the way most people react with their faith. That's the way most people are. They like it private, but they don't want to be out and seen with it and get the asked questions and be made fun of. They're scared about it. And by the way, true love, you don't care. You don't care. It's funny what true love will make these. I love getting these tough boys when they get their girlfriend. Next thing you know, they're wearing matching clothes and they've got all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, huh? You're hooked, son. You're hooked. I'm waiting for Billy to have to happen to him. It's going to be bad. Anyway, moving on. We live in a day where people are proud to display what they love. Walk around a car in the Walmart parking lot and they've got the anime stickers on there, the Japanese cartoons. And Jenna's not in here to pick on that one. But, you know, to yard signs. Everybody's got yard signs for their political, people that they're supporting. To just walk around and look how many people wear sports stuff. I mean, I've got Rangers shirts. I don't own anything Cowboys as far as I know. But I've got Aggie stuff. You know, I've got some things like that. Why? Because I like them. I support those teams, and I will wear these things. I'm glad I also don't own any burnt orange, too, by the way. That's a free one. And we're going off the rails here. This is not in my notes at all. But most people are very proud to display the things they love. Yet when it comes to displaying our faith, we're scared. We're a little bit shy about that. We get fearful. We grow timid. I would say that's not what we are called to do. We should sing it out. We should shout it out. We should do whatever we can to make that joyful noise. By the way, just as a side note here, because I love this, note the role of music in this. It is the book of Psalms. This is Israel's hymn book that we're looking at. I mean, we're reading a song here. But do not for a second neglect the value and power of a song. Note that the joyful music here, I think this is really amazing. Talking about this shout. That part there in verse number 2 fascinates me. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. This isn't just making a racket and yelling and you don't know what you're saying. This is that joyously joining in and people just singing out from their heart. I like to go to, I like to go all the time, but go to preacher's fellowships. But the one thing I like at preacher's fellowships is usually they pick the really good, stirring, manly songs. And and I like getting a bunch of preachers, even if they can't really sing, but they're going to belt it out. We sing those songs, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. Boy, and people just get to singing it out. There's something about that that is powerful. You know, we can make a joyful noise with our singing songs. And I think, honestly, one of the greatest tools we have in Christianity today is that power of music to use to express our joy, to express who we are. I think it is a wonderful, wonderful witness when we can lift up our voice in praise of God to this old world around us. Third question I have is, why make a joyful noise? Why make a joyful noise? And I just have three very practical reasons for that this morning. First, because we exalt God with it. And that is first, foremost, that is most important. God wants to be exalted as we lift our voices in His praise. You know, whether that is, and I was thinking about just the broad scope of music in the Bible. I thought about David as they're bringing that ark into Jerusalem, and he's having an old-fashioned, you know, spell there. He's jumping around. He's excited and dancing before the Lord. That's, I can't think of a more joyous example of singing and music than that. I thought of Paul and Silas in jail. I don't think they were singing "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen." I think they were singing something good. I think they were having an old-fashioned revival down there personally. But that setting is so amazing. But I thought about even though you get Jeremiah, the Book of Lamentations, he's sitting there looking over the ruins of his city and he's producing a song. And that's what it's poetry. That's what it is. So, I mean, whether it's joy, whether it's lament, all that broad spectrum, it still brings praise to God. It doesn't have to be a fast song or an upbeat song to praise God. But there are some people that say, boy, that, you know, Miss Brian got up here and was singing Beulah. And I said, well, where's the guitar? Where's the drums? Where's the orchestra? Where's the backing tape? I'm going to tell you, you don't need all that stuff. You really don't. Some of that distracts from it. You know, just the simple song. It's the power of that there is and that broad spectrum of things. It brings praise to God. We need to praise Him in the sunshine, praise Him in the shadows, praise Him in the palaces, and praise Him in the prisons. We need to sing it out, shout it out, and make a joyful noise to Him. Second, why do we make a joyful noise? It's because we edify each other with it. There's something curious as I was looking over these appearances of the word, of the little phrase there, joyful noise. And about half of them are linked directly with calls, I mean, within the same verse, for everybody join in. Psalm 66, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. That's everybody. Psalm 98, verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This isn't just one person. This is an invitation to get as many people as we can. Y'all come on in. Join in the singing. Join in the shouting. Join in the praise. Join in the thanksgiving. When we gather as Christians, we not only exalt God by what we do, but we also encourage others. We encourage one another. I'm convinced, by the way, that the most powerful discipleship program we have as a church is our public worship. When we gather as a church family, our demeanor, the words that we sing, the message we sing, the words that are preached, the prayers that are lifted up, I don't think there's anything more powerful to help grow a Christian, root them in their faith, encourage their growth, than just being amongst other believers in a worship service. And by the way, you know, shouts are contagious. Usually you don't get just one. Usually once somebody kind of break that ice, somebody else joins in, and it's a ball game or something. I thought about this, and I'm going to I'm an introvert. I hate the wave. I hate the wave with a passion. I want the people to sit down so I can watch the game, okay? But if you ever watch, you're at a Ranger game and people start that wave, and you'll see one person get a woo. I'm like, oh, really? But you see that person. And the first time it gets going, it goes a section or two, and it dies out. And then you hear some shouting, and then they do it again. And it starts gaining momentum. And then, unfortunately, it just grows until people get tired of it. Eventually it gets going around the stadium. And it's fun, it's cool, whatever. But I paid to watch a baseball game, not do aerobics, okay? I don't know where all this stuff is coming from this morning. But that's what I was thinking about that, though, how, you know, one person, just a little group of people, they start having a little bit of fun, it spreads. You know what? I think Christianity, I think our community, I think our church needs some people just to make a joyful noise. It's contagious. Let's all join in and just celebrate and praise God, thank Him for His goodness towards us. And the third reason why we should make a joyful noise is because we evangelize with it. We evangelize with it. This is not some private act of devotion or piety that, you know, you go in your room and you draw the curtains, and it's almost like, you know, World War II air raid blackouts. You know, you go hide in your little corner and you do your little thing. No problem with that. Private devotion life, that is, you need that. I understand that. But a joyful noise, just it's something that really can't be contained. I think back there as I'm picturing this, I picture these thousands of Jews gathered on that Temple Mount in the courtyards of the temple. I hear the trumpet blast from the priest. I hear the harps as they're plucked. I hear a temple choir singing one of David's psalms. I hear the people. I hear shouts of amen. I hear shouts of praise God. And I'm going to tell you something. You can hear that from miles around. Especially back then, there's not much noise. That sound's going to carry. I was thinking about it. I've told you before, working up at Mount Salem Revival Grounds a couple summers when I was a teenager at the camp there, their tabernacle is that they have their meetings in is open-sided. And there are times that when I was on staff there and stuff, we didn't get to go to all the services, especially the ones during the day. We'd be off mowing or doing something else. You know, we had other tasks, you know, to keep the camp going. But what I always loved was just being up there in that little holler back there in those hills. And you could be anywhere back there. And when it was chapel time, you could hear the singing as it just echoed through the hills there. And I'm going to tell you something, you knew what was going on. It was no secret what was going on. It was a witness for what was going on. You know, this old world that's so dark and discouraged, it's full of people looking for a light. They're looking for a glimmer of hope. I'm going to say this, I've witnessed, honestly, too much in the past few months, what powerful testimonies can be found when a child of God is called home. Because a lot of people don't know how to mourn. A lot of people have no hope when that day comes. Yet, there's a powerful, powerful witness when you can have joy and you can have peace. When you can lift your voice in song at a funeral. I've had this statement made to me a few times over the last few months, at Charles's funeral, at Max's funeral, people left. They said, I feel like I've been at church. I feel like I've been at church. What an amazing testimony. So I put Carrie on the spot. They're not all like that. They're not, you've been to them too. They're not all like that. You know, we can even lift up a joyful noise, even with a heavy heart, with tears in our eyes. We can still lift up a joyful noise. So musicians come. We have a choice to make. Just bring it back full circle here. We have a choice to make. Will we be silent? Will we not participate? Will we be timid and say, well, I might, but I'm not gonna go too crazy here. Anybody think I'm a fanatic or something? Or will we make a joyful noise? It's a choice that we have. in our lives. We have a choice to make. Will we make a joyful noise? My challenge for you this year is make a joyful noise. Get excited about what is happening. Well, you've got exciting things going on in your life. You do. Open your eyes. They're there. God's doing something amazing in each one of our lives. We have something to praise for. Get excited about what's happening in our church family. As a church, we've got the missions apartment thing coming together. The missions program's going. I'm super excited. Ask Ryan about the radio station. He was my captive audience yesterday. I'm excited about getting the sound system upgraded. I'm excited about the love and care that I see in the church family. I'm excited about seeing some new. I'm excited about having new little kids up here singing with us. I love that. I like having the little guys around here. Isn't it just a breath of fresh air? We got so much to be excited for. Are we going to make a joyful noise? It's a choice. And by the way, when that excitement really gets going, it's not something that these four walls can contain. This joyful noise isn't just a show you put on at church. This is something that carries over into our life. This is a 24/7 thing. You can make a joyful noise at work. You can make a joyful noise at home. And if your heart is really that lifted up, it's not just going to be for an hour or two a week. You're going to be constantly thinking and praising Him. You're going to be living a joyful noise. And last, if you are here, you have no idea what all this means. You're like, I don't have a clue. What are you talking about here? If you don't have that joy, if you don't know what it is, you can't feel that. I'd go back to square one. Do you really know Him? Scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you really know Him? Because if you really have that old-time salvation down in your heart, you got a lot to be thankful for. There is a spark. There is a fire that is there. And it ought to blaze within us. And I know all days aren't the same. I know there's days and there's times you can get, listen, depression will take that light from you. I know hard times. When you're mourning, all these different things, grief, I understand there's times you don't necessarily feel it, but it ought to be there. And you ought to have those times where you can't help it. It's going to come out. It's going to overflow. And I'm not saying you have to run around and throw, it's not camp meeting time and people, I've seen all kinds of silly stuff, I know. I'm not saying it has to be like that, but you ought to have it in you and it ought to come out sometime. Ought to leak out your eyes a little bit, get some tears. It ought to come out your mouth. It ought to come out. And if you don't know what that is, do you really know Him? Do you really know Christ? You need to find Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and you won't be able to help having a heart that produces a joyful noise. If you'll stand, please. What number, Owen? 326 there in the Baptist hymnal. If you want to sing along with the invitation song this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, it's been a rough few weeks to start this year, but I'm so excited about what you're doing. Looking ahead, the things that are coming down, just the possibilities and the doors. I can't help but feel like there are just great things around the corner for our church. And Lord, I just pray that within us, we catch a little excitement. We catch a little bit of this thanksgiving, realizing what you're doing, and let it pour out through love, through thanksgiving, through excitement. And let us just embark on this new year excited and for what you are doing in our hearts, in our lives, and in our church family. Lord, if someone here does not know you, they don't know that joy, I pray, let's get that settled before it's too late. Find that spark. Find that joy that only you can have in the forgiveness of sins. I pray that you speak to our hearts in this invitation time. Drive these truths home in us. Bless us, I pray, in thy holy name. Amen.